The Holy Gospel according to John. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about this day, this week, and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. We had a going away celebration at the base for someone who was given orders to move this summer. When we were signing his farewell card, somebody said, or signed, "Take it easy." Not having been around this person often, I didn't get the reference. When I asked about it, someone shared this person would always say, "Take it easy." When it came time to bid the person Godspeed or farewell, we went around the table sharing things about him. Someone brought up his "take it easy" mantra, and I saw everyone around the room who knew him smiling and nodding. It was his mantra that people who knew him well will always remember him by. As Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure in the Gospel of John, his mantra was that they would be able to recognize and remember him by was, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Jesus knew his followers would be lost without him after he died, rose from the grave, and ascended to God the Father in heaven. He knew the fears that they had and would have in what they would face. He knew that they would feel alone, lose their confidence that he could provide them with whatever they needed, if only they asked him, that they would get anxious, that they would fall back into their old ways of doing things instead of being held in his love and grace first, and then loving and serving others out of his love for them. He knew that they would want to return to the life they had lived prior to his coming and turning their lives upside down. Understandably so. He had brought in the reign of the kingdom of God into their lives, and it was not easy. It was a leap of faith. He had asked them to leave their comfort zones, their social status, which they received from their families of origin, in order to follow him. He had asked them to trust in his love and grace for them and for all people, when the world told them they and others were not worthy. He had asked them to see all people as he created them, in the image of God, and asked them to embrace diversity and welcome all people in his name and share his grace with them in baptism and Holy Communion. He had made them all one in baptism and given them a new mission to not work for self, but to work for him through his love and grace with others so that all people can live because of the new life he offered them through the only death that mattered. The death to their old self in baptism. He had raised them from the death of their old self in baptism to new life and eternal life in him through ordinary elements of water and word and the power of the Holy Spirit, which we celebrate here on Pentecost Sunday. He had promised to love them always, and he would not leave them orphaned. He promised to send them the Holy Spirit when he ascended to God the Father in heaven, to be with them always. In this passage, Jesus is not only giving his disciples then a mantra to remember when they were afraid, but gives his disciples now a mantra when we are afraid, reminding us that we are not alone, but we were given the power of the Holy Spirit in baptism to believe that Christ is with us, the Holy Spirit to act as an advocate for us, to offer us comfort, to inspire us in the faith and help us grow in faith, and to help us in our time of need. Thanks be to God. At the New Jersey Synod Assembly this weekend, Deacon Bill, Council President John O'Meara, retired Pastor Peggy Marks, Stephanie and Jillian Schwartz, Jillian's a youth representative on council, and I worshiped with the rest of the congregations represented by the synod and heard from Bishop Tracy Bartholomew, our newly reelected bishop for the next 6 years. In preaching on this passage in John, she asked the question, "What keeps you up at night?" So I ask, what keeps you up at night? Is it your or your loved one's health? Your child's well-being? Your financial situation? Your addiction? Your heartbreak? Your concern for the welfare of others? Your feeling of being stuck between a rock and a hard place? Politics? The news? The poor? The desolate? The oppressed? The marginalized? The country? The world? or perhaps the call process. For me, it is all these things, plus the immigrant and refugees who are seeking safety and asylum, who are suffering from a broken immigration and divisive political climate situation, where people are unwilling to cross the aisle to work together for the common good of all. If it is any of these things or something else, remember Jesus' mantra. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. For me, what keeps me up at night is worrying about you all while I'm tri-vocational, caring for you and my family and the reserve commitments I have. But I praise God for Stephen ministers and Sue Kuhn and Eucharistic ministers and Deacon Bill and all lay ministers. All of you are priesthood of believers. All are called to check on your neighbor. Pray for them. I thank God for you and your willingness to love and care for each other. And I thank you for your grace and your willingness to share with me if you need me. You are in my prayers. What keeps me up at night? Since the Synod Assembly, for me it is the youth who are left brokenhearted and crying after a well-thought-out resolution was proposed at Synod Assembly by and supported by youth and many others to change the Synod's spending plan that proposed eliminating the youth ministry mission leader position after 20 years of fruitful youth ministry support throughout our Synod. A courageous young adult had proposed to use the money budgeted for undesignated youth ministry with this position cut to be budgeted for at least a designated part-time youth ministry mission leader position. Personally, I felt the resolution's intent was good and needed. But I realized it lacked funding due to the declining congregational tithes across the Synod. It was heartbreaking to see the youth downtrodden and feeling unvalued and cut from the life of the mission of the church. There were tears, and they were real. And there were people there to minister to them. But they still hurt. Do I worry about whether they question where God is in all of this? You betcha. Do I worry if they will stop being the church because the church stopped being there for them? Of course. Do I have any part in all of this? Definitely. Jesus reminds me and reminds you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. My prayer in trusting in a resurrected Christ who raises us to new life through his grace is that their pastors and youth ministry leaders and congregations will surround them and surround our youth as you have been surrounded when you were younger, and will love and support them and pray and let the Holy Spirit raise up something new for them from this death. I'm not a numbers person, and we can get exact numbers if you want, but the Synod's mission support has declined by at least $200,000 for the 2020 budget. It is projected to decline more. Is it necessary? Is it changeable? Is it spirit-filled? St. Matthew, praise God, has been a vital contributing partner for mission support to the New Jersey Synod, and has helped fund the youth ministry mission leader in the past. By the grace of God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, St. Matthew is one of the top 10 tithers to the New Jersey Synod mission support. Praise God for our abundance and for St. Matthew's generosity. We, as a church, are biblical givers. We give 10% of our first fruits to New Jersey mission support because we believe in God's grace and abundance for all. 50% of New Jersey mission support goes to ELCA mission support to help Jesus' grace spread throughout the nation and the world. The bad news is, like most congregations, because individually and per household, we do not give our first fruits of 10% biblical tithing at St. Matthew. Some of you do, and I thank you. We are contributing to the problem of a lack of funding for a full-time youth ministry mission leader, let alone a part-time one. The Reverend Kimberly Vaughn, assistant to the bishop who preached here one time for me, shared that urban congregations, like the one she pastored in Detroit, Michigan, typically give above the biblical 10% first fruits, even though they don't have much to give. They typically average 13%. Why? Perhaps because they trust the generosity of God and out of his love for them, know that God's cup overflows for them and that they are called to share with others. Truth be told, many times I personally and our family has been unable to offer my gratitude for God's grace at the biblical 10% level. Whether through ignorance, lack of income, saving for retirement or children, or paying off student loan debt, I admittedly have not always tithed 10% of my first fruits. And so I've tried to serve and give in other ways. And yet now, praise God, our family is in a position to tithe the biblical 10%. And because we are constantly being made new through God's grace, we have given an estimated giving of 10% to St. Matthew, because out of your generosity, we are able to do that. In addition, we give alms to the ELCA and other helping agencies. To God be the glory, not because we are so great, but because God is great. In his grace and abundance overflows in our life, and we can share with joy freely. When reviewing the budget, I realized our congregation here at St. Matthew's average giving is about 3% per household. The New Jersey Synod has asked that all congregations increase their tithing to the Mission Support Fund to 10%. At incremental rates to help support the need for two assistants to the bishops in order to provide congregational care and guidance as needed. Many churches are without a pastor. Every person's financial situation is different. I realize that, and so does God. And although we, as a body of Christ, give the 10% biblical tithe to the New Jersey Synod to support mission, imagine what mission support could offer our youth and many more, because the bishop has vision to help seniors and to help others If only more would realize God's abundance in their lives and give out of that abundance. Only you and God know what you can and cannot give. And no, I will not be up here preaching about money all the time. But the Spirit put it on my heart because I care for the youth. I care for our youth. They are not the future. They are the church today with us. And we need to help them in their faith formation. Wherever you give, I just pray that you give joyfully, give generously, trusting in God's grace and abundance for you and all people, and continually remind yourself of Jesus' mantra when you are afraid, feel alone, have doubts. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Amen.